Welcome to another episode of Story Break, the Writer's Room podcast, where three Hollywood Jedi professionals have an hour to write a Jar Jar screenplay. Completely authorized, completely licensed. Lucasfilm gave the thumbs up. Nothing weird going on here. We do it week by week, page by page, one scene at a time. And my name is Freddie Wong.
I'm Will Campos, and there should be a prequel quote here, but there isn't. I just kind of butchered that one. That's when he's talking about the fucking Jedi archives. It ought to be here, my prequel quote, but it's not. Get it?
I get it.
But it is still there. It's like this is not a pipe. Is it a pipe or not? This is not a prequel quote.
Hey everybody, this is a professional gamer and professional father. Who says you can't have everything in life, Matt Arnold?
God almighty.
Yeah, professional gamer. I got 999 moons in Mario Galaxy. I'm still riding that wave.
Wow, that's disgusting.
So I'm pretty happy about that. I just had to...
I have a pro gamer story to reveal that I discovered over the weekend when my father dropped this knowledge on me, which is that he's been playing solitaire over the course of the pandemic.
Okay.
And he has now won 842 games of solitaire in a row on his phone.
Whoa.
He's really more like up to 1600 because he got up to 860 something and then his phone erased the record and then he did another 800. He's up to 1700 games of solitaire in a row. I was like, how long does it take you to beat a game of solitaire? He's like, I don't know, like probably like 60 seconds. Like my best is like 30 seconds.
Not to call your dad a liar because I would never do such a thing because he's a man of pure honesty and dignity. Seriously?
How
Mr. Campos, I'm wondering what version of solitaire he's playing, because in normal solitaire, like the traditional rules, there are about 20% of like games, the card ordering that's impossible to win.
Well, okay, so I'm sure on the apps, like they have some algorithm to make sure you'd never get a broken game. Like that's just a quality of life thing.
You know what? They should do that, because like, yeah, what's the point? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine any other game that you play? Like 20% of the levels in Mario, they just say,
just
hey, by the way, you actually can't. You just can't win this one. Too bad.
Seems like Solitaire needs some patch notes. But yeah, so my dad has played over 20,000 games of Solitaire on his phone, and he's won 1,700 in a row. So I'm no longer the top gamer of my family. I need to just
wait, in a row?
In a row, Freddie. In a fucking row.
No.
Yes. Yes.
In a row? That's not statistically.
Freddie wasn't paying attention clearly at the beginning of the podcast.
He's playing draw one.
I was going to say, there must be a different rule set he's playing, or to Will's point, a good solitaire game should essentially remove any version of solitaire that's unbeatable.
Yes.
Because that's shitty.
I don't know.
Anyways, I don't want to redo the joke I did about Mario again. Freddie just wasn't listening.
No, everybody. I heard it. The other move is that he could be doing draw one like a normie.
I don't know what kind of draw he's doing. I will have to get him to send me some screen grabs. I told him he should get on Twitch and start playing solitaire, but I don't know if people would be into that.
I would fucking donate. I would be first subscriber donating, fucking watching Mr. Campos play solitaire. Are you kidding?
Well, there you go.
That's incredible, Twitch.
Can I get a poggers in chat, everybody?
We're not here to talk about solitaire. We're here today to talk about Star Wars fan fiction, which is the solitaire of screenwriting.
In that 80% of them are winnable, but 20% are terrible, unwinnable.
Which one are we on? We don't know.
And Will started this recording with the equivalent of can we talk later when you're about to record a podcast, which is like, I have some thoughts.
And it's some thoughts.
So what have we done wrong?
So to bring everyone up to speed, in the last scene, Jar Jar has finally gotten into the CC's Red Table Pizza of the Red Council. He's been brought into the loop that they're after the rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
And then our thought is that he's now going to get sent undercover to bust Croquet out. Here's my problem, gentlemen. I've been tossing and turning about this because that last line was a clunker. Like, I knew it in my bones. Jar Jar's like, are you kidding me? Like, it's like that went well. Like,
English, please.
I was like, something's wrong with this scene. Something's not working. And I think what's bothering me is that it feels like, here's our plot. Jar Jar Binks, he's trying to be undercover with the Empire. So he helps them capture Croquet Seal.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're like, good, now we need you to release Croquet Seal so we can capture the rebels. And he goes and breaks out Croquet Seal so they can capture all the rebels. And then he breaks out Croquet Seal and the rebels. Like, I'm just saying, it's a lot of this character getting broken in and out of jail. And I'm worried for 30 pages down the road when we're like, oh my God, this again? Like, how many? So, like, I am a little antsy about that.
Mm-hmm.
I have a pitch that I'd like to throw out right at the top.
Okay.
And we can go from there. And you guys can tell me I'm wrong. Because I think what we got to, I think the idea that we bring in the Rebel Alliance, their goal is to destroy the Rebel Alliance, and they want to bait them into doing that, and Jar Jar is going to be part of that. I think that all makes sense.
Yeah.
But I think we need to up the stakes, and I think it needs to be something a little different than what we saw before. My thought would be, that the Red Council or whatever, they're going to hold or stage a public execution of Crokay and the Gungan saboteurs that she's with, right? And Jar Jar is going to be the face of this execution. He's going to go out and order this execution.
Mm-hmm. Jar Jar, you know how they normally have hoods on? We're doing away with hoods on, executioner. It's you, baby.
Because they know this is going to be really unpopular, so they need a guy like Jar Jar to be the kind of fall guy. He can take the PR mm-hmm. hit that the Empire can't, or something like that. But then what you would do is essentially, then they are hoping that they're like, we're going to have this very public execution. The Emperor is going to be there. We're going to try to bait the rebels into doing something stupid so we can capture them or something like that. Like, we can, like,
the old Robin Hood plot.
The old Robin Hood plot, right? So they're going to do something like that. Now the stakes are, oh shit, like, Crokay is actually going to get killed, and mm-hmm. Jar Jar is, it also, like, escalates for Jar Jar that now, like, people have gone from not really liking him because the city smells like shit to, like, now, like, he's executing people and people are like, what the fuck, Jar Jar? And then I was thinking, like, looking further down the road, you could do then, like, Jar Jar's also now desperately trying to find and contact the rebels to help them save Crokay. And then I think you could go even one level further, and the rebels are like, we're actually not going to show up. Like, we're going to let her die. And then that's what part of what motivates Jar Jar to rescue her himself.
Yeah, that kind of gets to what I was thinking there, which mm-hmm. is just, like, you need to compress whatever it is that's going on and just make this the thing that the Emperor is coming to, the big thing,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think it just feels like we essentially get there now, or we can get there in 20 pages, and I don't know that we accomplish a lot in that 20 pages by having him, like, we've already seen him fuck over Crokay. Like, I don't know that him going and being like, oh, I'm really with the rebels, and then they go and do a thing, and then, like, I lose track of what we get from that right now.
Yeah, no, I like that. I'm trying to figure out what to kind of focus on, what Jar Jar is going through and what's happening. Because, like, I get this, there's still another step there, which is, like, you can have them set up an execution, but it's just Crokay. So it's like they're still looking for the Rebel Alliance, right? Like, mm-hmm. and Crokay is not Robin Hood. It's like, it's one, like, when they got Robin Hood, they've got the end game. Like, they got Robin
yes,
Hood.
Yes, exactly. Like, they've got Friar Tuck.
They don't,
like,
have
Friar
that.
Tuck.
So
you're trying to bait out Robin Hood, right? You've got his merry men is essentially kind of what I'm proposing here.
Yeah, I'm trying to think, would you buy it? It's not like they think that, like, the entire Rebel Alliance is going to show up and reveal themselves to save Crokay. Right. So I'm just trying to think of what it is that they are
trying to accomplish.
And then, yeah, what do you get? Does Jar Jar save Crokay, which would be redundant because, like, he's already done that? Or do you just fucking go for it and he kills Crokay, which, like, would obviously be a bigger turn, like him having to actually do something?
What I was thinking was that essentially the execution then becomes the ticking clock as you're building up to this final act, right? And I think you would do, to me, the obvious low point would be Jar Jar is going to try to do something to reach out to help, you know, save Crokay or whatever. And then, like, my thought would be, like, if he goes to try to contact the Rebel Alliance, he gets caught doing that by Darth Vader. And now he's on the run. And then that gets you to our end game where he goes on this solo mission to go do it himself or something like that. But it's a little mushy.
The execution of Crokay is not, like, I don't think that's enough of the end game. Like,
in our original outline, I believe the idea was that the Emperor was coming to witness the execution of these rebels, and then Jar Jar is supposed to kill the Emperor for the rebels, and then instead he saves the people who are getting executed instead. That was what we originally had, so that was kind of what I was basing that on.
Yeah, to bring up the original outline, but there's also more stuff that happens in between there. It just seems like Crokay, like building all the way up to, because again, he's already essentially saved Crokay's life once. Like, I don't know if, like, this whole, it feels like a very, even for, like, a small Star Wars movie, it's very small if it's just. And then ultimately it's like we're 40 pages in and Crokay has been captured. And then it's like he's going to try to save Crokay, and then he gets caught trying to save Crokay. And then in the end,
he just does it himself.
Yeah, and
he
saves Crokay.
I see what you mean.
Crokay dying or Crokay getting executed or the rebel. Like, to me, the turn of this, like, the low point is like, and now, you know, the entire Rebel Alliance is going to get destroyed, or entire planets can get destroyed, or, you know, all of the Gungans in, you know, there's a fucking.
Yes.
Genetic bomb that's going to kill everybody that's not an Imperial or something. Like you need something.
Yes, that's exactly right. I think it needs to kick up, and I just don't think we nailed it last time. So going into this next scene, because I honestly think most of that final scene is good. Like, I think, like, having the scene where Jar Jar comes to the council and gets briefed and finds out the dark thing he has to do all makes sense. But, like, in terms of this next scene, I'm like, so, like, what then? Like, are we going to see him break out Crokay?
So the idea and the escalation of it is that you then have him in a situation where he's essentially playing a double agent.
A triple agent. He's already a double agent.
Are you a double agent if you're working for a ghost, though? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
I think it's still counts.
I think it's half. He's a 1.5.
He's a 2.5 agents is what.
No, that's true. It's true. Like, we like Crokay so much, so we kind of, whereas, like, a lot of the stuff I was about to say, like, he could be doing with Crokay should probably be being done with Qui-Gon, and since, like, you've set up Qui-Gon as this, like, you know, complicated mentor figure.
Invincible, cool ghost.
Okay.
I'm a little lost. I'll put it that way. I think we may have gotten the X-Wing stuck in the Dagobah swamp.
Okay. Let me be your Yoda here and throw this out there, Will. Mm-hmm. What if in the Red Council scene, he looks over the Darth Vader's shoulder and there's Qui-Gon's ghost has been there the whole time? He's like, what's Yusa doing here? And then Qui-Gon's like, shh, I've been here the whole time, George. Like, what do you need Misa for? And then it's like, whoa. And I'm just kidding. He's doing bunny ears, like, as a ghost. How fucking cool would that be? And you're like, wait, can no one else see him? And it's like, wait, has Jar Jar lost his mind?
Qui-Gon's like, I was never there. Yeah, it's a bummer episode, guys. I don't know what to tell you. This is going to be me and Matt staring at the wall for a second. But go ahead, Matt. What were you going to say?
No, I was going to say, luckily, we were just talking about that we should probably do a break and do the normal story break episodes. Not a bad idea.
Do you just want to do a normal story break?
Suez Canal, everyone. Here we go.
Look, we're not going to make the same mistake Disney made and rush these Star Wars movies in 2 years instead of 3 years. When we need a break to figure out the story, we're going to do it. But this is a good time to figure this out.
Yeah, we've gotten farther than we normally do just riding high on the momentum of a first draft. Like, usually we drive this thing into a ditch, like, by page 25.
Yeah.
So the fact that we've gotten 57 pages in before being like, what is the rest of the movie is actually pretty good.
That's the power of Star Wars, baby.
That's the power of Star Wars. That's the power of the Force. But we got to get through this scene. We got to shoot our... We got to, like, let's just... Oh, boy.
What we're missing, here's what we're missing. Mm-hmm. And it's tough because it's a very foundational problem, I think.
They always are.
Yeah. What is Jar Jar fighting for? Like, is this about saving his best friend's soul? Is this about saving his own soul? Is this like, in Star Wars, you get it. It's like, it is a farm boy who wants adventure, and then it escalates, and it's like, it's about saving his father's soul, and in the process, protecting his own soul from corruption.
Yeah, and they got three movies to do that, too.
Yeah. Like,
but yes, you're right.
And again, it's even different than, like, Infernal Affairs, because inherently you have somebody who went into, you know, a group, whether it's a police officer or somebody in the military or a CIA agent, like, with a certain sense of honor and love for a country, and then they are asked to do something counter to their beliefs in order for the greater good. And it is about, we're doing that story, but, like, Jar Jar is not quite the same. It's not like Jar Jar, like, started with, like, I'm pure and the only thing I want to do is, like, protect, like, Naboo.
Look at what we have. That is essentially what we have, right? He wants to do good for the citizens of Naboo. And I think we could dig that out more. Like, again, like, in our original break, we talked about him feeling like he owes a life debt to Naboo itself. And I think that's maybe something, I think if you were to go back into a second draft, you hit harder in the first act. But that actually brings up an interesting point, which is that I think bringing this to the stakes are the planet itself. Like, makes sense. There's one thing for Qui-Gon to say, like, I'm willing to burn a rebel agent for the greater good, but, like, if we get this to there where he's like, all right, like, Naboo is gonna have to go, do you know what I mean? Like, then literally, how is that any different than the Empire if you're like, we're gonna let this planet get destroyed so we can save the universe, you know? And maybe it doesn't get destroyed by, like, a big laser blowing it up. Maybe it is like, there again, like, we have this whole thing with the fish pump.
It gets destroyed by space tourism. They're like, we're gonna open up Naboo. We're going to open casinos and gambling. It's going to be the new Reno/Vegas. It's going to be the new Space Vegas. Everyone's like, no.
I think what we missed. Okay, this might be.
We saw the other casino planet. It sucks.
Because, yes, to your point, it is about that. But, like, how do you dramatize that? And how do you make that personal and human? Like, right? It's, like, not enough in Infernal Affairs to be about the city. Like, unfortunately, like, we kind of took the role of Qui-Gon and we ruined it or made it not the way it's supposed to work. And Infernal Affairs, like, that is his friend. Mm-hmm. Like, so when he died, like, right now, if Qui-Gon Jinn died, it'd be like, oh, God, Qui-Gon Jinn's dead, whatever. Like, I was kind of an asshole. It's probably going to make his life easier. Whereas, like, in
really,
Infernal
Affairs,
when
say
he
it's,
dies...
He's an asshole. It's not that he's already dead because he's a ghost.
Well, that too. But, you could make him disappear. I mean, yes, but, like, that's just, like, technicality. Like, the point being is that, like, in Infernal Affairs, like, that guy is... He remembers his birthday. Like, when he falls onto the car, there's the plot problem of, like, now nobody knows I'm there. But it's also, like... He's sad. Like, you feel bad.
Yeah, no, shit. You know what we did? Yes, we did a flippy dip because normally the relationship is Anthony Wong is like, don't forget you're a cop. Don't forget who you are. And
it's like your
Tony
handler.
Leung is the one who's going hardcore, who's like, he's gotten in too deep.
You're right.
And he cares too much. And
right now,
it's the other way around, where Jar Jar's like, I don't really, it's, you know, and honestly, this happens in a lot of writing. Like, it is very easy to fall into this trap of getting into this position where your main character is the one kind of resisting the story as opposed to the one driving the story. And I think actually you are right that Jar Jar is resisting the story, not driving the story. story right now.
Yeah.
Because right now it's like every scene is then like Qui-Gon's like, you've got to do this. And then Jar Jar's like, okay.
Yeah.
But like, it's never Jar Jar being like, yeah, I'm going to fucking get in with Vader. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that.
Oh, you're right. It should be, Qui-Gon should be like, yo, Jar Jar, you can't do this. The Force rules, dude. The light side brought me back to life. I'm a Force ghost.
Shit.
I'm doing all kinds of shit as a ghost now.
Oh, we fucked it up. You can't let people die, Jar Jar. We fucked it up.
Look. It's not necessarily because I do think it is fitting for Jar Jar's character, but what we are missing is the clear moment of him being like, I want this more than anything, and I'm willing to do it. And even in this moment where he like steps up to Vader, it feels like he's kind of being forced to do it because somebody's convinced him it's the right thing, as opposed to dramatizing what is it that he cares about more than, like, if anything, it'd be more interesting if he had gone against, like, I think you could set up this relationship we have with Qui-Gon, but the answer should have been that he fucking like punches Vader and like goes away with Crokey because he cares about Crokey, and then Qui-Gon's like, what the hell did you do? And Jar Jar's like, this is what I want. And then Qui-Gon's like, good luck. Like, you fucking are, like, you're trying to play it all by your integrity, but like, get ready when that fucking village gets burned down because you did the quote unquote right thing. Because then at least like Qui-Gon and him are at odds.
Oh, you're right.
And it's more, and it's more active decision.
You're right. You're right. Yeah. You're right. You're absolutely right.
You know
right.
the problem is? We fell for the oldest trick in the book, which was we saw Liam Neeson acting in Taken, and we forgot that he's actually a gentleman, a beautiful, gentle soul, as opposed to this hardcore dad who would fuck anything up to get his, right? Like, we fell for all of Liam Neeson's recent roles. We should have remembered Liam Neeson from his older roles, but not his old, older roles where he was in the IRA.
We want Liam Neeson, not Liam Reeson.
What I'm saying is we can still do Qui-Gon as the asshole, but then you have to make Jar Jar active again against that.
Like, yes,
you
should.
Like,
yes.
He, the wrong decision is that he's actually quite, like, Jar Jar denounces the double agent thing, but, like, that's going to have costs. Like,
shit. It's like, you're right, son of a B. Oh, that's so far back, but that's exactly what it should be, which is that it builds up to Jar Jar's gonna kill her, and instead of saying Annie, and it's like, oh, it's you do, he fucking picks up a stun gun and blasts Darth Vader in the back, and Darth Vader falls over for a second, and then Jar Jar shoots a fucking rock onto him, and then they run, and now he's on the run with Crokey, like something like that? Is that
And
like
then Qui-Gon's like, I don't know, it's a tough...
But that's, you're right, that the, whatever is going on, it needs to, that is the turn. That is what brings us into the second half of this movie, is Jar Jar needs to do something out of his own conscience that blows his cover. You are right. That is essentially what all, because right now he's just getting bullied. It's like, you can do that for a little bit. You can have the character get bullied and like get into a spot where they feel like they have
to act.
But
the point of it. Yeah, the point of it is it gets them to a point where they want to act against
him. We need to bring him to his line where he's going to defy Qui-Gon and he's going to defy Darth Vader.
So look, we're Stephen King. This is The Green Mile. We got two novellas already fucking in the CVS rack. Like, it's already, those books have already come out. Like, they're in there. There's nothing we can do. Grandma and my mom have already, they picked up their People magazine.
You can't go back to CVS and be like, oh, reread this one. That last book you read isn't the right book. You're right, man.
Yeah, they already read novella two of The Green Mile. They already really invested in this.
Wait. Sorry, The Green Mile?
Do you remember The Green Mile came out as novellas?
Are you talking about The Dark Tower or The Green Mile?
No. Oh, The Green Mile was a novella series.
I never read The Green Mile.
Really? I remember they came out at the magazine rack.
What are you?
Yes.
Okay, Grandma, let's get you to bed.
It was a set of six books.
Sure,
do you not remember this?
No.
We don't remember the publication history of The Green Mile.
I was getting my Werther's Originals at the store, and I saw a book by Stephen
1996.
King.
Well, I went to the grocery store.
In 1996, I was going to the grocery store to buy Airheads and Jolly Ranchers. You were fucking up to date on the latest Stephen King drama.
You go to the grocery store with your mom, and the first thing you do is go to the magazine rack and see if there's a Maxim or see if there's a, you know, a Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition that you can look at.
PC Accelerator.
Yeah, PC Accelerator. And then, you know, these Green Mile books intrigued me. 1996. They came out every month. March, April, May, June, July, August. One a month.
There you go. Kids, you may be wondering if anyone in the 90s had the brilliant idea of combining a gaming magazine with a Maxim PG-13 for side boob magazine. And the answer is they absolutely did, and it was called PC Accelerator. And it was fucking terrible.
The 90s definitely feels more dated than like the 30s at times. Like, you look at like
100%, yes.
Every cigarette ad or like housewife like asking for something, you're like, wow, this is pretty bad. But you look at the 90s, like the selling 90s PCs.
Or the times when the GameStop ads were literally fuck this woman, like instead of like playing a Game Boy is gonna be the equivalent of fucking a woman. Yeah, like, that's how insane the ads were.
This is why our generation's messed up.
Oh my God.
And people wonder why millennials don't have religion.
Where did all these weird misogynists in the gaming space come from? Who knows? Maybe it was this fucking 7-year-old reading all this crazy shit.
But the lucky ones read The Green Mile instead. A nice little 100-page novella.
Save Christian boys like Matt Arnold read The Green Mile instead.
Green Mile.
All right. Anyway.
We've always given ourselves the leeway of the previous scene.
Yes.
So I think you can change what they are telling Jar Jar to do.
But you're right. I think this needs to build up to...
He needs to make that move.
Jar Jar is going to make a decision for the right reasons that has all the wrong outcomes. Right?
Yes.
It's essentially that, right? We can't, that's essentially like what I was resisting.
Basically The Bachelor is what we're talking about.
Yes, he can't go along.
All the right reasons, all the wrong outcomes.
Yes, like if they tell him you need to, and who does he say no to? Does he find a third way? Is it like he says no to both Qui-Gon and the Emperor? Does he find the Jar Jar way of doing something? Like what's the...
This is V1 of the Jar Jar way. Like, this is his first attempt at the Jar Jar way, and it's going to go terribly. And then the last version of the Jar Jar way is when he dies to prove a point to Anakin and to, you know, save his friends.
Yes.
That's the true Jar Jar way. And he's, like, is smarter than all. But this is the dumb version of the Jar Jar way because it's unskillful. Do you know what I mean? What he's going to learn at the end is the synthesis of all of this cunning and deception that he's learned. But, like, what the Buddhists would call skillful means. He's going to be smart about it at the end, but he's going to be moral about it here, but not smart about it. And it's going to go disastrously. And then he's going to go, oh my God, I can't do anything right. Like, I guess I just got to be a bad guy. And whoever the real moral conscience of the movie is going to be, no, you fucking idiot. You did the right thing. You just did it in a dumb way. Don't be dumb.
This just is the writing process. Mm-hmm. It's like, the idea is really great in a log line, and then you try to make it an outline, and then you want to, you know, murder yourself as you try to make it an outline. And then you get an outline that feels really good. You're like, yeah, this outline's great. And then when you start writing it, you realize all the problems with the outline. It's just that process. It's like the outline kind of makes sense on its own, but it's got its own problems once you dig into it. So
We're three novellas deep. Yes. It feels like we need to see Jar Jar say, fuck this. He's been getting pushed around enough by absolutely everybody. We need to see him make a decision for his own that is him going rogue on Qui-Gon, on Darth Vader, and it's going to then spiral out of control. In terms of stuff from the outline, that the only thing I am married to is this final confrontation between Vader and Jar Jar.
Yes.
Everything else is up for grabs to me, right? Like, that's the only thing that I think really, like, we owe the script, is that that's our ending.
Yes.
And then this idea that he's gonna die and everyone hates him, but he's secretly a hero. So we've got Croquet in jail. We've got this, you know, potential execution. You know what's infuriating about the human brain is that, like, there's no way to just have an idea. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just, like, the most backwards, like...
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to our philosophy podcast. We're discussing Descartes.
If you wanted to, like, be like, hey, like, we need to come up with a color, like, I could be like purple, red, blue, brown, you know, like, whatever, right? Like, I can just blurt those out. But, like, an idea is, like, you just have to create the conditions for one to arrive. And, like,
it's hard to create a new idea. If I said, like, pick a movie, you could, but if I said, make a new color up.
Blurple.
I had Blurple too.
Oh, damn it. But you have to, like, it's like trapping a bunny. Do you know what I mean? The more you chase it, the harder it's going to run away from you. You've got to, like, just, like, put the bait, and you've got to just hang out.
You
got to
run in the opposite direction.
Wait for it to just show up, right? So, like, right now, we're fucked because we're like, this is probably, like, what are we, how, now, especially with the pressure of, like, we need to do this in 20 minutes, or, like, our fucking podcast audience is going to hate us because we can fix our movie. So, like, there could not be more pressure to catch a bunny right now. I'm freaking out, man.
Just like Jar Jar, we went undercover as good writers, and now we have to.
Gentlemen, there is a third solution.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Story Break, where nothing is wrong with the previous episode. We're just going to continue on, and then in the background, we will figure out what to do. But for now, what happens next?
No, but we already are deciding just to move on from the previous episode.
All right, what about this? Here we go, gentlemen. Here we go. We're going to be quiet, 10 seconds of straight silence.
Okay.
And then we're all going to have an idea on the other end of this tent, but we're going to give the bunny rabbit 10 seconds of silence to think, like, oh, maybe I can sneak through this meadow now. And then we're going to fucking pounce on it and we're going to have it, right?
Wait, instead of just 10 seconds silence, can I bring people into our writing process and maybe bring back an old classic for all of us? Mm-hmm. And we'll obviously edit it so everybody doesn't have to have... It'll feel like 10 seconds of silence in the podcast, but we used to do a thing while writing VJHS called Eureka Poops. when somebody would go to the bathroom, they would, like, half the time somebody would come out of the bathroom and suddenly have the solution. And so I think this is because they got out of the writer's room in their own head.
So you're saying we all need to go to the bathroom right now?
We're all going to go take a Eureka poop and see what we come back
or
with.
Pee. If you don't got to poop, you can pee. All or right. Just a nice sit on the toilet. You know, half the time we claim to go to the bathroom, Will, in the writer's room, you're just going to look at your phone anyways, right? Check, like, it doesn't have to be a poop. It's a Eureka bathroom moment. So let's just all right. go to the
Spend
bathroom.
Spend some time in the bathrooms of our various respective homes.
Yeah, we'll be right back. Just a couple seconds. Actually, I do need to go pee, so.
Okay. Well, gentlemen.
Boys,
we back.
We're back. Did anyone have any thoughts?
The boys are back in town.
Any movements?
I did not have a Eureka poop, only because I didn't have to go poop. I did go pee. So fluid did leave my body and go into
stop
the toilet, everybody.
It. Please
begging
stop.
You to not say that.
And while I did a thing that all mammals and all humans do, it's completely normal for urine
all
to escape my
humans.
Body. Mm-hmm. While that was happening, some ideas flowed out of my head as well.
Really?
And unfortunately, they're intangible, so they left me, so I couldn't grab them. No, I have them. I have them. Here they
okay.
are.
I have a couple too, so you go and then I'll go.
Oh, shit. Okay. Do we get multiple Eureka?
Wait, Freddie, do you want to join this piss stream?
I was just looking at Suez Canal memes, but don't worry. It's percolating. It's coming in. Don't worry.
Freddie's figured out GameStop stocks right now.
Guys, listen, everyone, puts. You got to put the puts down. No, just kidding.
Okay. Here's my thought. Mm-hmm. I think we're shying away from the black hole. We're trying to run away from the black hole that all Star Wars things get pulled to. But I think we had the right idea back in the day, which is like, you do need to answer the Death Star question. Mm-hmm. And I think the problem is the previous scene is like, he gets into the red. It's not so much that like his actions redundant. It's just to get into the Red Council for their big reveal to be, by the way, you are going to take Crookay. It's like, that's not really exciting. Like, we're going to kill the Rebel Alliance. Like, obviously they're going to kill the Rebel Alliance. Like, that's not, mm-hmm. you need to get into the Red Council and be like, hey, you know, all those ships that are coming in here. That's because in Naboo, in Theeds, in that quote unquote fish factory that you opened up, bring it back to the thing that they opened up in the first place. We are building a laser that is going to fucking destroy entire cities and eventually destroy entire stars. Like, the weight of that should be like, oh shit. Like, Jar Jar's like, he's in the now, he's in here, and yes, they are going to make the Death Star. This is the beginning of the Death Star plans, and in terms of the result of like, hey, was this worth getting to the Red Council? Like, they have a laser here in Naboo.
I got a fun thing from that. You do it where they're like trying to come up with a name for it, you know what I'm saying? And Jar Jar gets a, lose the. We're going to call it the Death Star. It's like, what about you? You know what I mean? Like, Jar Jar comes up with the name for it right there.
Jar Jar coming up with the name for the Death Star is very funny to me, actually. And they're like, it's the Doom Star.
They're like, it's the planet destroyer. No, it's a Death Moon because it looks like a moon. He's how about call it Death Star? They're like, it's not a star, though. It's like, yeah, but like nobody cares about a moon. A star is scarier.
But moon's so small over there. Like, think of all, name all the moons you know. You're right.
It's the Hudsucker proxy scene. Like, Vader just holds up a circle and he goes, you know, for planets. There's the whole montage, like the Doom Star, the Death Circle. It's like, fellas.
So then what you can do, by the way, just thinking ahead of time, how you can also square the circle with the lore itself is their first plan is to test it on the Gungan city of Crokay and where this rebellion is.
Oh, because it's in the water.
And honestly, that is what Jar Jar stops.
Sense to me.
He gets everybody out of that city. Like, everything he does is like he saves the Gungans and the rebellion here. And honestly, we know the dramatic irony of like, great, like ultimately in the grand scheme of things, sure, they just tested on literally in Rogue One, they just tested on another fucking city that, you know, is having trouble for the Imperial. And the Death Star does get made. It's not like he stops the Death Star or stops anything. But what he does do, he saves people like Crookay, who in his mind are like the true heroes. And you probably set up something where it's like, if Crookay gets out, people like Crookay are going to be what keeps the rebellion alive sort of thing. And that's what he does. Like, he saves Crookay. And
rebellions
then
are built on hope. I like that. That actually complements my thought, which was, it was kind of a structural thing. But I was like, this feels like what you need is the bad guys got the goods from Crookay.
Yeah.
They figured out, again, maybe she didn't give it up, but they found it in a rebel when they searched her apartment or whatever. Or they did break her or whatever. Like, they did.
Yeah,
you know,
we got psychic shit. We got Jedis. Yeah. Like, freaking Han Solo breaks. Like, yeah, they read their mind.
But they have figured out where the hidden rebel base on Naboo is, right?
Yeah.
And then they're like, we're going to go destroy it. And Jar Jar, we need you to. So they, or they're like, whatever, right? So that's what's going on. So Darth Vader and all them are going to go blow up this rebel base. Jar Jar's like, oh my God, we need to stop them from doing that. Qui-Gon is like, no, while they're all distracted doing that, you're going to do this other thing. That is, you're going to kill the Emperor. You're going to blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. You know, like, this is the sacrifice move. Like, this is what we've been building towards, Jar Jar. This is the moment. You're going to, because Darth Vader's going to be out of the fucking capital. There's going to be this massive assault on this rebel base, right? Like, they're all going to be like, you're going to have the opportunity to do this other thing that needs to be done. And then Jar Jar goes rogue and doesn't do that because he's got to warn the people or whatever. That was, and then his cover gets blown doing that. That was my thought.
What Jar Jar could do is, like, he goes on television and is like, this is Governor Jar Jar. We're so excited that we caught this horrible person, Croquet. We're going to do a mass execution. We're going to execute Croquet, and the Emperor's going to be there in person. You know, and Emperor's like, what the hell did he just do? It's like, well, you can't back down now. Like, everybody's excited for this. Like, you know, Jar Jar, like, announcing something, like, announcing this, like, ceremony is a thing that nobody can step back from. Mm-hmm. And it's like, right, he's using the power that they were giving him in the first place against them.
Which is like, hey, you're the
public face. And it's like, if he comes up with something, and now Qui-Gon's like, what the fuck are you doing? He's like, I don't know. I just need to buy time. Like, this way, you know, we'll figure it out. Like, they have to do this now. They have to do it. We'll, like, try to save the Gungans. We'll try to move them out of there. And then Qui-Gon's like, okay, good job. You're going to fucking kill the Emperor then, motherfucker. If you said this whole thing, if you're going to mess up these plans, at the very least, you better make this worthwhile, you know, sort of thing. And, like, now he's pivoted. Nobody quite knows what to do with Jar Jar. And he can play it off. He's like, oh, I thought that's what you said in the meeting. Did I misunderstand the minutes? You know, sort of thing. You know? And he's like, he's playing it smart.
Paul's pounding. Meeting minutes, political intrigue coming from Jar Jar, misinterprets what was said, didn't take notes at the meeting.
Darth Vader be like, you're going to do this, and Qui-Gon being like, you're going to do this, and then you're like watching Jar Jar think, and then he steps out to the patio
and says
something completely wild and introduces a new thing is fun.
Yes. The bad guy plan is revealed. The plan is going to be to do something horrible that's going to kill a shitload of people on Naboo, right?
Yeah.
And it's probably, we might have to do with the Death Star, might have to do with the Rebels, could just be an attack, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Part of that plan, they need Jar Jar to make an announcement, right?
Yes.
That's what we're saying. And then Qui-Gon wants Jar Jar to go along with this. He wants him to do this because it's like, this is part of, you know, again, because he's got some other plan, like, you know, like, you're going to be able to kill the Emperor or whatever. Jar Jar goes out and goes rogue and says something that fucks up their whole plan and, you know, potentially jeopardizes himself. And then the way he plays it off to everyone except for Darth Vader, who smells a rat, is that he was just too stupid and he bungled it.
The Emperor goes along with it, be like, well, you made a freaking mistake, but whatever. Like, you know, we're a door closes, a window opens, or whatever the fucking thing is. The Emperor's like, fine, I guess we'll do it this way. Like, you know, well, fine. You know, it's a big, you know, Jar Jar, maybe you're right. A big public, you know. Hoo-ha is maybe the right way to do this.
This would be my unveiling. It would be my quinceanera. It would be my introduction to society. You're right, Jar Jar. I could use a cotillion.
We're getting closer. We're getting closer. I like the way that that gives Jar Jar an opportunity to turn the tables. We kind of saw him start to do that. It's true to his character with the fish, too, right? Like the way at the beginning.
Yeah.
All right. So in theory, let's go with this idea of they're going to attack this base, right? Or they're going to make some attack.
Oh, here's what Qui-Gon wants.
Okay.
In terms of a dark, like, Qui-Gon's like, we can't stop this. Mm-hmm. What he wants is he wants Jar Jar, whether it's like breaking out Croquet or whatever, like his plan is, look, this is the long game. Like, you can't stop the Empire from destroying every single town, right? That's insane. Like, it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. It's fucking war. Stuff's going to happen. This is an opportunity for them to, when they're going through the rubble, to find the Rebel Alliance, plant fake Rebel Alliance, right? Qui-Gon's like, I need you to get a bunch of false, again, misinformation campaign. Fucking get into that town, you know, or like plant a bunch of fucking false info about the Rebel Alliance. And at the very least, they're gonna be chasing their tails for a couple months after blowing up this Rebel base on Naboo. They're gonna blow it up. They're gonna go in there. They're gonna find all this stuff. And Qui-Gon's like, he's like, what? I can't let these people die. He's like, they're gonna die. Like, this shit happens. At the very least, we can use this as an opportunity. They think they've gotten a victory. They destroyed a base and they've gotten a bunch of information, you know, because they know that they're contacting other people, but you're gonna fucking false plant all this stuff. And, you know, Jar Jar, like, why don't we just warn them ahead of time and they can do that themselves? Because, like, because it's not real. If they blow up a base and nobody's there, they're not going to fucking believe it. Like, that's what needs to happen.
They,
like,
need charred bodies, Jar Jar.
Charred bodies.
But if you were going to do that, it would be that, like, he tells Qui-Gon, like, they got this information from, okay, this actually lets you play it both ways. They're like, hey, we broke Croquet. And it's like, they got this information from Croquet about the Rebel Alliance, and then Qui-Gon's like, good, they took the bait.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? So then, like they're going to go blow up this city, and then when they blow it up, they're going to find the information we planted. Or, like, I need you to finish the plan and plant this information.
I can't use a keyboard, Jar Jar. I can't type, as you know. Oh, then we can finally have the ghost scene, because then Jar Jar has to hack into the, like, Rebel Alliance computers, and then Qui-Gon's going to be like, here, Jar Jar, let me guide your hands. And then he shows up behind them, and it's like ghost, except it's him hacking. I'm going to take the fact that you guys aren't responding to that to mean that it's in the movie.
It's in the movie. It's in, baby.
It's in the movie.
I'm just giving a reason why Qui-Gon would let a bad thing happen. Mm-hmm. Like, ultimately, Jar Jar's not going to do this. It's not overly important. Mm-hmm. Qui-Gon's like, yeah, that's the price of war, motherfucker. Like, that sounds horrible.
Yeah, we know they're gonna blow
this place up. Resistance is going to die on Naboo. But we can fight so many battles. Like, this is going to happen. Might as well get a victory out of it. The Emperor and Darth Vader, they just gave Jar Jar the information. They're just like, hey, this is going to happen. We're going to need you to, here's a speech. You know, everybody's going to hear this big explosion, you know, showing up. So, like, you're going to have to, here's the spin. Here's the propaganda spin of whatever it is. You know, we can come up with whatever they, however they want to play it. If they want to play it as there's like a gas explosion, or they want to play it as part of war propaganda, saying they did actually, you know, kill all these, you know, whatever it is. Like, that's what they tell them. It's like, this is going to happen. We're blowing up the city. Here's what you're going to say, Jar Jar. Qui-Gon's like, that sounds horrible, but you're going to let it happen because here's how we're going to make it a positive for our fight.
Yeah.
And then Jar Jar does not want this to happen.
Yeah.
So he announces something that delays the attack and screws up everybody's plan by announcing that there is some big execution for Croquet, that the Emperor is going to be here or whatever it is that screws up everything. And they have to pause the attack. And then, yeah, that's what I'm saying. And, like, that's what Jar Jar's solution is to this. And now he's stuck with, you know, this thing he's done.
It's like in World War II when they would, like, break the code, like the German Enigma code. They would let ships get taken out.
Yeah, with fake codes.
Because
they're like, we can't tip our hand.
But if they knew, right? It's like if they knew that a ship was getting taken out, they would plant stuff so that the Nazis would get it and be like, ah.
Yeah, let's make your death worthwhile by.
Okay. All right. So a couple of things are popping in my head. So I like the idea, if you're going to go with this, the idea that something's going to get planted. There's also part of me that's like, should this thing actually wind up happening?
Mm-hmm.
If maybe Jar Jar is too...
That's true.
So then to me, though, the real horse, Jar Jar is too late to stop it, and he blows his cover. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, or something like that. And he fucks everything up somehow. Okay, but so this is good. This is interesting. My thought would be, like, the other thing you could do is that, like, what would send the Emperor and Darth Vader on a fucking freak-out wild goose chase more than, like, a Jedi holocron in the Rebel base? And they're like, oh shit, the Rebels, like, there are more Jedi out there, like, they're restarting the Jedi Order, like, again, like, they're gonna send them on some Jedi paraphernalia goose hunt or wild goose chase or something like that. Could be kind of a fun.
Oh, that's fun.
There's also a world where you do that, they are going to blow up this city and blame it on the Rebels. Like, you could do, and then maybe Jar Jar is supposed to get out there and be the one who says that the Rebels did this.
Okay,
do you know what I mean?
Yes. And Qui-Gon's like, yeah, go along with it, like, yes, you know, this is part of the plan. But at the very least, you know, yes, they won their propaganda war here on Naboo, but that's a fucking long game. At the end of the day, you know, if we can send them to the wrong planets and wrong information for fucking months,
they're pawns, Jar Jar. We sacrifice these pawns.
That's gonna buy us the time that we need, because right now is a dangerous time for the Rebel Alliance. Like, we need as much time as possible to get fucking started up.
Yeah,
like, the Empire's on a head start. Like, that's what Qui-Gon's trying to buy.
Yeah. Okay, so they're going to do a false flag.
Yes.
The Empire.
Yes.
To blame the Rebels. They figured out where the Rebels are.
They're going
to
tape Croquet to the laser and videotape her blasting the city.
It's not the Death Star. Here's what you do. They've been sabotaging these shipments, right? Like, of the oil or whatever. What they're going to do is that the Rebels are going to blow up one of these shipments, and it's going to crash into this city and destroy it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, they didn't know that they actually had super unstable shit in there or whatever. The Rebels, in their zeal to fuck with the Empire, are going to cause a horrible accident, right? And it's going to kill them, and it's going to wipe them out, and everyone's going to hate them.
And now, is the city also, like, a Rebel stronghold? So it's like two beds with one stone.
I'd rather play with the pieces on the board than drag a big laser into it. I don't know what we need this laser for right now, especially if we're not going to do
it. Does is like, here's the reason for the Death Star laser, what I'm trying to get at is, like, the stakes that the Empire is developing weapons that can blow up entire stars feels like something that's worth getting into the Red Council for. Whereas, like, if ships have been blowing up, it's like, okay, got in the Red Council, like, here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna kill the people. Like, they just went to a church and killed a bunch of them. Like, it's like, now you're to the Red Council, here's what we're gonna do. We have the ability to blow up ships, and we're gonna blow up a ship over a city and blame it on them, and it's just gonna affect the people of Naboo. Like, it doesn't feel like you're getting into the realm of stakes that matter for, you know, Qui-Gon, this is ultimately the war and stuff. Like, I think you want to make this about the broader war because ultimately Jar Jar's sacrifice and what Jar Jar cares about is on the small scale.
Okay. All right. So, well, I don't think you can make it a false flag then, because then why would the rebels have this big super laser? Like, that wouldn't make any sense. Like, that,
I mean, nobody knows. For example, like, nobody knew what a bomb, what the nuclear bomb was when it first happened. Like, the first week, like, everybody's like, what the fuck happened? Like, nobody's seen a laser like this before. Nobody's going to see this big laser floating in the sky. A whole city's going to get destroyed. And then the propaganda angle is like, yeah, the fucking rebels, like, blew up a power plant there and they destroyed the entire city. Look what they did. Like they're doing a test. Like, this is early in the realm of, like, we're testing this new super laser. We're going to destroy the Rebel Alliance. And great, we're also going to blame, you know.
Okay. Okay. That's all. So, okay. Hear me out. Hear me out. Okay. Hear me out. Okay. So then I would do in the previous scene when Jar Jar gets into this meeting, they're like, all right, first order of business, you know, Darth Vader, what's going on with Kroke? He's like, Kroke has given me the rebel base or whatever. And then, like, excellent. What about Project Exodus or whatever? And then we're like, oh, shit, the other guy in the meeting is Grand Moff Tarkin, who's like, the fucking project is going great. We're ready for initial tests of the proto laser or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And then the Emperor's like, this gives me a zany idea. Why don't we test the laser? And they're like, here's the problem. We need to test the laser, but it's so fucking high profile that if the second we test it, people are going to know we have it.
Yeah.
And then the Emperor is like, well, this gives me a kooky idea. What if we blow up a city with our laser and we blame it on the rebels? Right? Mm-hmm. Like, does that kind of square all three things? And they're like, well, to sell that to the public, we're going to need someone to sell the story, someone they trust. And they all turn to Jar Jar, right?
Yes.
But do we not, how much is Jar Jar trusted at this point, though?
He's more trusted than they are. More trusted than the hulking robot or the creepy old man.
Like, he's trusted by the pro-Empire public, which is the only public that matters, right? Like, he is seen as the, there are obviously people who are pro-rebellion who don't like Jar Jar or the Empire.
They will believe Jar Jar if Jar Jar tells them that this was a rebel sabotage that killed this city.
Yes.
Right.
As opposed to telling them the truth. Okay.
And I do think you need, as much as we all know Star Wars, like, I think since it's the beginning of the war and the beginning of the Empire, like, I do think you need essentially the Qui-Gon's realization, like, again, the stakes of my God, like, I knew the Emperor was evil, but, like, the understanding that he is going to be destroying entire worlds, you know, who knows how soon from now if this weapon works, like, we need to give the, again, I even buy Qui-Gon's reasoning, which is the sacrifice of a few thousand people in this town to give the resistance time to fucking get their shit together, because, like, Empire is much more dangerous than we could have ever imagined, is, I think, important stakes.
Okay.
So maybe for this week, do we just do a redux of the previous scene?
I think we have to rewrite the previous scene.
We rewrite the previous scene, and then we'll take a story break.
We're going to do this, and it's still going to end with him going, are you so freaking kidding me? I just know I'm still not going to be able to come up with a better damn line for this stupid ending. But yes, okay, so to walk through it really quickly. So essentially the idea is Jar Jar gets in.
Yeah.
And again, yes, we're essentially setting up the pieces of the next act, which is that we're going to reveal, we're like, ah, here's our big juicy reveal, the proto Death Star laser, right? Which is like, you know, like, we're still working on the name for the final thing, and then maybe we can get, I'm going to try as hard as I can to sneak in this joke about Jar Jar coming up with the name of the Death Star, which I still think is hysterical. And so they're like, well, here's our problem. We want to do a test fire, but we gotta we need to see test out his destructive capabilities, but we don't want anyone to know we have it yet.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's our trump card, you know, like, and it's just not ready for the public, but we need to test it out. And he's like, well, what about and then, you know, we hear the other thing about Kroke from Darth Vader. And so then the Emperor is like, what about this? Let me lay this on you.
Yeah.
And then Jar Jar is going to be the one who's going to have to sell it to everybody.
Yes.
Oh, you know what's great about my idea, Will, is that because here's what it is. You know how in, like, Star Wars, Darth Vader's really not down with the Death Star?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, you know, he argues there's that conference room scheme.
He's insignificant next to the power of the Force.
Yeah. So the whole time, here's why. The secret is we reveal in this scene, Darth Vader's been pushing for Killosphere the whole time. And nobody likes Killosphere. And he's like, I think the Killosphere's cool as hell. Imagine the might of the Killosphere in the sky. Entire worlds will tremble under our grasp. And like,
for the Killosphere.
The Killosphere is just not going to happen.
It's more scalable. Like, we can make smaller Killospheres or bigger Killospheres. Death Star's you're kind of defined. You can't have a small Death Star.
He's like making a PowerPoint. And be like, by calling it the Killosphere, we'll be able to. Oh, that's the little training droids. We're prototype Killospheres. That's where they came from.
Oh my God.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. All right. Yes.
And that's why he hates it so bad. This is because at the end, he was like, yeah, well, this place sucks. And it's like, Darth Vader, just because it didn't use your name doesn't mean it's not a cool space station.
By the way, really quick.
Freddy broke this scene wide open, but yes.
Yeah. Maybe it's too much. But just thinking ahead, I think why you can buy this Jar Jar moment working is because they've introduced a problem, which is we don't want people to know we have this laser.
Killosphere.
So when Jar Jar makes an announcement, this is my shitty pitch version of it. It wouldn't be this, but it'd be like, he says, like, we're going to have a great Nabooian, you know, ceremony for the rise of the Empire during this, like, meteor shower. And they're like, what are you doing? It's like, I'm sorry, I'm not going to let Grand Moff Tarkin fucking blow our entire plan because he wants to show off his laser immediately. At this point, at least, like, the entire planet is going to be looking up in the sky and they're going to be all excited. Oh. And when that city blows up, it was a meteor. Like, I've fucking covered your asses. Like, Jar Jar, wow, that was a good idea. Like, I wish you had told me ahead of time, but at least I get, like, I think he... The thing he announces is to, like, essentially come up with a reason and a way to, like, hide this explosion.
But it delays it.
Yes.
Because there's an actual meteor shower that's going to happen, is what you're saying.
Yeah, there's something that he comes up with. Like, you'll get a scene where he's, like, you know, smoking a cigarette. And he hears, like, there's a meteor shower. He's like, I got an idea.
They want to blame it on the rebels, don't they? Isn't that the idea?
Yes, but they still, anyways, we'll figure it out. We're thinking ahead. The point being is, like, I think you can come up with something that Jar Jar has.
We'll figure out the meteor. But yes, I like that.
There needs to be a justification. He can't just be like, I did a dumb move, please forgive me. It needs to be like, I did a smart thing for you all.
Actually, it was a 1,000 IQ play.
They're like, it's so dumb, it's genius, is what they think. Do you know what I mean?
Yes,
like, it's like,
yes.
you want it to play both, where it feels stupid, but then he explains it, and they're like, well, it's kind of dumb, yes. But actually, yeah, all right.
Like, yeah, maybe it's not even hiding. Maybe it's like he clarifies this, like, now everybody is going to be where you want.
I mean,
to
we'll
be,
see. Sort of I also, we might not need him to. It might be something else because it's like,
who knows?
What you want it to have work.
You know what? We should have ended on a high, which is the Killosphere. That's all we needed to this week. Is the fucking Killosphere.
This scene being, I mean, like, all right, good. Because it's like, you want a punchline. And then being like, all right, good. Like, this meeting of the Red Circle is in order. And it's like, first order. And it's like, they're on meeting 20 of, like, they've brought basically Jar Jar into an informal brainstorming session. They're like,
yes, exactly.
It's like, Jar Jar, you've got away with the people. Like, what? Do you think they'll like Killosphere or Doomsphere more?
We want to focus test some of these ideas. You have your finger on the pulse, don't you, Jar Jar?
It's just the common folk. All these people pitching dumb ideas for what to call the Death Star to Jar Jar to see, like, which one he likes the most is, like,
Okay, the idea that they're about to open the door and then Darth Vader, like, kind of pushes him to the side is, like, very quick before we go in there. You'll have my support. Just when something comes up, back me up, okay, buddy? He's like, yeah, sure. And then he's like, Killosphere. And then they're all like, it's like, what do you think, Jar Jar? He's like, Death Star. And Darth Vader just turns and looks at him. And they all love his idea. And Darth Vader's like, you fucking said you had my back. And it's like, well, maybe if you didn't have such a fucking dumb title, I would have Darth Vader. It's like, oh, shit, dude, Jar Jar's on this next level. You said you had my back. I didn't even care what it was called.
They bring Jar Jar into this room, and then they fucking slam him down in a chair and hook him up to all these electrodes, and you think that he's going to get a lie detector test,
yes,
but they're just measuring his brain readings based on, like, what they think their dumb ideas.
Jar Jar, Killosphere is clearly the best name.
Because, like, he's so fucked that if they just asked him, like, are you working for the Jedi's, he'd have to lie. It's just literally a lie detector, but all they care about is their dumb ideas. So you do that, it's like, because then you get that thing where he's like, what do you think of Killosphere? And then Jar Jar's like, I really like it. He goes, and like, I told you, Vader. And Vader's like,
search your feelings.
So
you know it to be true.
Darth Vader being such a bad, like just leading questionnaires.
He's
like, 22. All right, Jar Jar.
Of course his ideas are terrible.
Here, Jar Jar, here are the four titles. Don't let your friendship with me sway you in any way. These are all no order. Anyways, the first and best name, Killosphere.
He hands him a paper and his finger just lingers over Killosphere. He like kind of points at, read these aloud. Tell me what you think. He just holds his finger there. It's like, why is your finger there? It's like, just don't mind. I don't want to influence you at all.
I don't want to influence
Vader.
At all.
No mind tricks, Vader.
This is a name for a weapon that's a giant sphere that kills things. And the first name, the best name, I mean, of all of us is Killosphere. The other three names, you don't really need to know them. They're Death Star, Moon Star, whatever it is. So which one of those four names, you know, completely unprompted by me, do you enjoy the most?
Just so you know, it's a giant sphere that kills things.
And it kills things.
Oh my God. Okay. That's the scene for sure. When we come back, we're going to do this scene one more time, once more with feeling.
Hey, it's John Moe. And look, these are challenging times for our mental and emotional health. I get it. That's why I'm so excited for my new podcast, Depresh Mode. We're tackling depression, anxiety, trauma, stress, the kinds of things that are just super common but don't get talked about nearly enough. Conversations that are illuminating, honest, and sometimes pretty funny, with folks like Kelsey Dara, Open Mike Eagle, and Patton Oswalt.
Humphrey Bogart was never in therapy. And then my dad said, yeah, but he smoked a carton of cigarettes a day. So he was in therapy.
Plus psychiatrists, psychologists, and all kinds of folks. On Depresh Mode, we're working together, learning, helping each other out. We're a team. Join our team. Depresh Mode for maximum fun, wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you so freaking kidding me? The scene scrolls backwards as those like VHS rewind things show up on the screen. It's weird that the VHS lines still show up because it's like, who fucking even knows what that is? Talk about a skeuomorph, am I right? Like, that's just like, talk about dated. Is this thing on? Anyway. Interior, council room, night. Vader leads Jar Jar into a large, pitch dark room. The spotlight shines down, revealing a sinister interrogation chair, complete with straps, electrodes, braces, etc. in the center of the room. Fear fills Jar Jar's eyes, but he tries to keep calm. Vader motions to the chair.
Please be seated.
Jar Jar, uneasy, sits down in the chair. Vader taps a button on its side and the chair springs to life. Straps tighten around Jar Jar's wrists and ankles. Electrodes affix themselves to Jar Jar's brow. A screen glows to life and displays his heartbeat.
For your outstanding service to the Emperor, you have been hand-selected to join his most trusted council of advisors, the Red Council. Yet, before you join its ranks, there's a test you must face.
Vader mashes a button on the wall. One by one, the holographic images of the Red Council, six robed figures, their faces obscured in shadow, appear in obsidian seats arranged in a circle. Vader whispers in Jar Jar's ear.
When the time comes,
It's so difficult to do that voice and also whisper.
When the time comes, follow my lead.
The final figure appears in hologram form. It's Emperor Palpatine.
This meeting of the illustrious Red Council is now called to order.
Long live the Emperor!
Long live the Emperor!
Emperor Palpatine smiles at Jar Jar, whose interrogation seat is arranged smack dab in the middle of the circle.
I see our newest recruit is ready for the initiation. Dr. Lindo, you may begin when ready.
One of the council members, Dr. Yarba Lindo, rises from her chair and nods to Jar Jar.
Governor! Before you are admitted to this council, you will answer a series of questions. The machine you are connected to measures your psychic state. If you lie to us, it will know, and you will not leave this room alive. Are you ready to proceed?
Jar Jar nods, scared out of his mind. She snaps her fingers, and a 3D schematic appears floating before Jar Jar. It's the Death Star!
Well, that's such a cheat in the script to be able to just say, it's the
I
Death
know,
Star,
I had
one
exact
sentence.
Same thought.
You fucking
not
coward.
Cheat, because everybody knows.
Like, it's a sphere with a little dent in it, and it looks real scary. Like, come on. This is like basically putting...
No more than a cheat than saying something's a gun. Like, everybody knows what the Death Star is. It's fine.
You're now looking at the most closely held secret in the galaxy. A superweapon, still in its prototype stage, capable of destroying entire worlds.
Jar Jar's jaw goes slack in dread as he stares at the Death Star.
This weapon is as of yet unnamed, which brings us to you.
Vader, looming over Jar Jar, unfurls a little piece of paper and reads from it.
This is so good, dude.
I will now read the list of candidate names. You will respond to each name with one of the following options. Strongly approve, somewhat approve, somewhat disapprove, strongly disapprove, or no opinion. Answer truthfully, or the machine shall reveal your deception. Let us begin.
Confusion mixes with the fear in Jar Jar's eyes. Is this really the test? Vader clears his throat and reads the first name.
The Doom Star.
Strongly approve.
Ding! A green light chimes on Jar Jar's chair. One of the council members gives a cocky smirk.
The Death Orb.
Somewhat approve?
Ding! Another green chime. A different council member glares at Jar Jar with burning anger. Jar Jar cringes.
The Kill-O-Sphere.
Darth Vader puts like some extra juicy baritone stank on his voice when he says this. He also gives Jar Jar a discreet thumbs up. Jar Jar's eyes shoot wide in terror.
This is the funniest.
to remind.
Just give me Jar Jar's first.
To remind you, this is a big sphere that kills things.
Careful, Vader.
Jar Jar gulps. The council waits with bated breath. Vader's stare practically burns into his forehead.
This is strongly approved.
Bzzzt. A red light buzzes on the chair. Jar Jar shudders in pure fright. The council members grin.
Search your feelings. Let the name flow through you. Killosphere.
Sweat pours down Jar Jar's face. He tries again.
Somewhat approved?
Bzzzt. Another red light. Vader seethes. The council members can barely contain their laughter.
Speak truthfully, Governor, or suffer the consequences.
Jar Jar shuts his eyes like a man facing a firing squad.
Strongly disapprove.
Ding! The light turns green. Vader clenches his fists in rage. Suddenly, the whole room begins to tremble.
Misa, sorry, Vader. Misa really tried to like it.
Ding! The light turns green.
It's fine. I disagree, but whatever. It's not like you could come up with something better.
You're right. I probably couldn't.
Bzzzt, the light buzzes red. Vader's rage builds. The shaking intensifies. Dust begins to fall from the ceiling.
Your feelings betray you, Governor. Go ahead, then. Name this weapon if you dare.
Well, Misa no expert, but death is scarier than doom, and star is cooler than orb. Maybe the Death Star?
Vader's hands unclench in an instant. The shaking stops. A pregnant pause as the council members all stare at Jar Jar. Then burst out laughing. The Emperor cackles in delight.
That's the stupidest name I've ever heard.
Oh no, our planet is doomed. The Death Star is here.
Yes, it is very bad. I quite agree.
Okay, Jar Jar, okay, you're in. On to new business. How do the trials for the Death Star laser going?
More laughing from the council. Jar Jar can't help but roll his eyes in annoyance. The Death Star schematic is replaced by a blueprint for a laser cannon.
This is the most awesome powers scene. It's so good.
It's very Austin Powers.
To further develop our prototype, we must see its destructive capacity in a live fire environment. Yet finding such an environment is complicated by our need for secrecy.
Lindo gives an impish smirk.
After all, it'd be a shame if our plans were revealed before the Death Star was finished.
More chuckling from the council.
Allow me to present a solution to this dilemma.
A holographic picture of a captured Croquet Seal replaces the laser cannon.
The Gungan known as Croquet Seal proved highly resistant to our interrogation droids, but her mind was an open book to me through the power of the Force.
Eye rolls and annoyed looks from the council. There he goes about the Force again. Croquet's image vanishes, replaced by the Starbird, the symbol of the Rebel Alliance.
As I suspected, Croquet and her insurgents are a part of the galactic terrorist network known only by this symbol. Furthermore, several key leaders of this network are hiding out here on Naboo, in the city of New Centrif.
The hologram shows New Centrif, a bustling Naboo metropolis.
I propose we test our laser on New Centrif and blame the destruction on this network. In this way, we crush our enemy and further our aims in one fell stroke.
Hologram New Centrif explodes. Jar Jar watches in despair. Emperor Palpatine smiles.
Clever, Lord Vader.
Too clever? You really expect the public to believe some ragtag anarchists have that much power?
The people will believe whatever we want them to believe, but the story must come from the right source, from someone trusted.
Someone credible. Someone like... are you guys thinking what I'm thinking?
The Emperor grins. A beat. Then the epiphany erupts simultaneously from everyone in the room.
Jar Jar Binks!
A whirlwind of emotions surge in Jar Jar as he processes what they're asking him to do and be a part of.
That's what I'm talking about! Synergy! Unlimited synergy!
Guilt, grief, and fear flash across Jar Jar's face. We linger on him as the sounds of the meeting echo in his ear.
Jar Jar, prepare a speech denouncing this tragic, senseless attack. Dr. Lindo, how soon can we get the Death Star laser ready?
Just to clarify, we're not actually calling it the Death Star, right?
I don't know. It's kind of growing on me.
And then Jar Jar turns to the camera and shrugs.
And goes, are you so freaking kidding me?
Freeze frame.
Oh man, that's very good.
What a scene. I was cracking up writing this one. This is very so fucking funny. I love,
you know what it is? It's the idea that, like, one, Star Wars kind of touches on this, which is Vader is like the CEO of all of this, mm-hmm. and he just shows up to personally handle so much stuff.
in the movies that you're like, what is this guy? Like,
Vader and the Emperor have a real, like, Michael Scott, Dwight Schrute vibe. Like, Vader says yes. He's the assistant Emperor, and the Emperor is like, you're the assistant to the Emperor. That's like one of those.
Yes.
That's very good.
But yeah, no, I keep cracking up the line. To clarify, this is for a big sphere that kills people. So fucking dumb.
That's very good.
There you go. And it explains why he is so resistant to the Death Star in episode 4. It all rhymes, baby.
It reminds him of his fallen friend.
And the fact that he can't control that meeting. Anyway.
Can't come up with any good names for stuff.
You know who doesn't have a problem with that is our fans and their fan art.
Yeah, heck yeah, they don't or do. I don't know the right version of that sentence. They're good at naming things like their fan art, which is all very good. We got some great stuff to talk about this week. Story Broke at it again. Sent us a really wonderful Indiana Jones inspired poster for Rupert's Riches, a Monopoly story based on our Monopoly episode.
Classic.
Deep cut from Story Broke. I love it. We also got some really terrific Heaven Heist fan art this week.
Hey.
MCG Studios sent us a wonderfully stylish picture of the whole gang. Some new outfits. I was particularly fond of Whiskey has a little weenie mustache. Like, he's got this little pencil thin mustache, which is hysterical. We also got another Heaven Heist poster from Byron Yoakum on Facebook, which is like this really nice shot of like the iconic gate with like the van falling down. It's super badass. And last but not least, Jared McPhee. I barely remember making this joke, but that did not stop Jared McPhee from doing an incredible drawing of Gollum with the ring from Lord of the Rings, which was a riff we did in one of the Heaven Heist episodes. We're like, what if a fish just found the ring in the river? And it's a very, very good picture of this fish freaking out. So thank you to Jared. You can see all of our fan art at twitter.com/RJStoryBreak, or you can head it over to the Facebook group bit.ly/StoryBreakFB. Join the discussion.
And join us on the Maximum Fun Network by listening to the other shows on the Maximum Fun Network. You've heard one promo already. Stick around for the other one. We're at MaximumFun.org. We're the best podcasts are. Thanks, Max Fun, for having us on your network. Thanks to Chad Ellis for editing this podcast.
Thanks, Chad.
That's going to do it for us this week. A little bit of a reset, but we forge onward once again next week here on Story Break. So we'll see you then. My name is Freddie Wong.
I'm Will Campos.
And I'm Matt Starr. I mean, Death Arnold. I mean, Matt Arnold. Bye, everybody.
I love it. I love it.
I'm Star Warnold.
Star Warnold.
Star Warnold.
Have a lot of problems.
How do you juggle your holds at the library?
Well, how do you decide what to read next?
What do you do when you find out an author you love is a huge trash baby?
I'm Bria Grant.
And I'm Mallory O'Mara.
And we're the hosts of Reading Glasses.
We're here to solve all your reader problems and along the way, help you figure out
your reader wheelhouse,
which are the things that will absolutely make you pick up a book. Our listener favorites tend to be magic and a woman on a journey.
And also birds for some reason.
Your reader doghouse.
Yeah, that's the things that'll make you avoid a book.
Ugh, love triangles stress me out so much. Reading Glasses.
Every Thursday on MaximumFun.org.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.